welcome to episode 102 of the Peer Geek Podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I'm joined today all the way from, are you in California at the moment?
Yeah, San Diego.
In amazing San Diego, Bailey Sandsmark is welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jared.
Yeah. So paint the picture for us. You're obviously in San Diego at the moment. And is that always your home base, or have you been fortunate enough to travel around and work in different places?
Yeah, I've lived in San Diego for about 10 years now. Before that, I actually was a massage therapist for professional cycling teams. So wow. I was based out of San Diego and also like kind of the Riverside area. And mm-hmm. I got to travel around doing that. But I've settled in San Diego.
Yeah. So what is it that you initially got excited about when, you know, physical education teaching sort of came into your world? Like, is it something that you sort of flowed into, or is it, if you trace it back to early days, is there like a hint of you probably heading down this path all along?
Yeah, it's funny. I never really saw myself as a teacher, but mm-hmm. I look back when I was a kid and I used to play teacher, like with office supplies and stuff, which is really funny. And I always said that I would be famous someday. So I kind of worked my way through various careers involving health and fitness and mm-hmm. discovered that I love being able to help young kids kind of find their way and things that they can do to be fit. And then that ended up being PE because I realized I can make a really big impact. So before I was a PE teacher, I was a personal trainer and a strength coach, and I loved mm-hmm. working with my middle school and high school aged athletes. But yeah, it wasn't making a big enough impact for me. And so I wanted to move into teaching. So I've been teaching now for about 3 years, mm-hmm. not including student teaching. And yeah, it's awesome.
I love it. It goes really fast too. I'm assuming that those 3 years have flown by.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Flown by. Someone was asking me the other day how long I'd been teaching, and I said, 3 years. I was like, wow, that went by really fast.
Definitely. So if you think back to those other careers and other things that you've done along the way, how do you find that they've shaped you as a teacher now? Is there anything that, you know, you draw from or able to, include in your practice?
I mean, definitely being in the, you know, fitness world and strength coach, I do a lot of that fitness type teaching. Mm-hmm. I've also been a sport coach, so that allows me and played a lot of sports as a kid. And so I think all of that just gives me a lot of variety of things that I can tap into to help my kids or to relate to my kids. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Like all these different life experiences, and they all mix together to make the teacher that you are. And, you know, you'll constantly draw on those things along the way. And I found the same thing because, you know, my passion when I was growing up was track and field and Australian rules football. And, you know, I think if I trace back to how I felt when I was doing those activities, that's sort of what I want to try and get across in a classroom setting, that same feeling of how I enjoyed those activities and, you know, constantly trying to be improving and healthy and active. And it's funny how those things find their places in our classes. And you probably have the same experience thinking of your own, like if you can think of your own PE experience when you were a young kid, did that have positive, you know, situation as well?
No, I actually hated PE as a kid.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And then that's probably why I'm a teacher now. I want to change.
Yeah. Great.
What has been taught and do it so that it's more inclusive of everyone. I was always mm-hmm. an athlete, but I was never the best athlete.
Yeah.
I always struggled. So but
your enjoyment for being an athlete in that sort of traces into today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, great. I'm still very active and try to instill that in my kids, let them know the different things that I'm doing outside of the classroom to mm-hmm. be fit and active. I play softball and I exercise with weights and I do spin classes. And so mm-hmm. I like to share that with them so that they kind of see, oh, she's not just teaching us stuff. She actually does stuff on her own. Yeah. But it's kind of funny when kids ask me about PE when I was a kid and I just say, no, it was miserable. I hated it. We I just remember running and playing capture the flag. And I'm like, yeah, those things can be fun, but not all the time.
Not
and,
every lesson.
Yeah. So yeah. Definitely try to make PE a fun place for everybody, no matter what they're into.
Yeah. And that's not uncommon for, you know, people who are teaching now, whether it's phys ed or any other subject area, to maybe have had not the greatest experience when they were young, and using that as the fuel to, you know, introduce more positive experiences for their students in their classes. And I think that's great. You know, we've got this entire new wave of people coming through and teaching and making phys ed different than maybe it was when they were at school. And a big part of that is, you know, people connecting and being open to all these new ways of teaching. And I'm going to go on a limb here and suggest that, you know, you being connected on social media has played a positive role in your experiences thus far.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably pretty recently started being more active on Twitter, like the last 6 months. And just the Twitter alone, of the tools that I've received from other teachers and the things that I've been able to share, has been amazing. Just learning things and seeing what other teachers are doing. Even if you don't use it, it inspires me to use it in a way that I can use it, or just see what other teachers are doing. Like, oh, I can tweak that a little bit here or there to make it even more interesting or whatever. And yeah, that's been awesome.
It's a melting pot of ideas. And like you said, you don't have to do all the ideas, but there is a lot of motivation to be said about just seeing what other people are up to and, you know, feeling like we're not in this alone. And I think that's its greatest strength. It's this global network of people sharing good practice. So how did you actually discover it? And were you a little bit skeptical at first around, you know, Twitter? Like, why would people use this for, if they're in the education space?
Yeah, it was a big thing. Twitter was a big thing for me in the cycling world. A lot of the athletes, you know, share where they're at or what they're doing. And so I was always familiar with it. And I never really saw it as a professional development tool. Mm-hmm. But I've listened to a bunch of different podcasts, and it seemed everyone was talking about how great Twitter was for PD. And so I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And it's been awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, there's this, obviously working with, you know, thousands of teachers across over about 10 years now, we've come across all sorts of thoughts around it as a place where you might go to get professional development and connections. And realistically, you can only sort of let people know about it. But once they make that step on their own and they start to see some of the positive results, they become converted too. And, you know, it is really powerful. So with that aside, what has been one of the things that you've, you know, seen on Twitter and maybe introduced in your own practice that's been successful for you?
So probably the biggest thing would be the plagonants.
Wow. Yeah.
I was using Plickers already and saw the benefit of the Plickers, but being outside most of the time, having a piece of paper wasn't always the easiest thing.
Very easily disappear, can't it?
Yeah. Wind, and I was keeping them in those clear sleeves and a binder, and it was just kind of a hassle. And so I was like, okay, this is better fit for a classroom, or if I can get into an indoor space, that would work. And then the plagnants came along, and I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. This is perfect. And I saw it, I think, over the summer and bought all the tools and implemented them this year. And that's been a really great, just quick check-in tool. I usually do it as like a warm-up activity while the kids are waiting for everyone out to get outside or for me to get out of the locker room. It's kind of something that I can kind of see where kids are at. I use it a lot for beginning of a unit, kind of see what they already know, and then use it as a tool to check in as the unit goes, so that the students can see their progress. I know that I'm seeing their improvement, but it's a neat way for them to see, oh yeah, I'm learning something. And that's been that's been my favorite tool for sure.
Yeah, it is really a testament to what technology does best. And, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the latest device or the latest whatever it may be, and it becomes such a thing that it gets out of the way of what teaching is supposed to be about. And Plickers as a whole is an example of when technology gets out of the way. It lets you do whatever its goal is, which is help you collect data quickly, seamlessly, and easily. And you know, it achieves that in a tremendous way using paper. But you've taken it to that next level by making the plagnets, which Mike Ginnicola is champion. So did you go out and make your plagnets?
Yeah, so I used Mike's template, mm-hmm. and went on to Amazon and ordered the circle rounds and some magnets and glued everything together, cut everything out and Mod Podged them together. And I already had a chart, so I keep them in a little chart. I have a mobile cart. I call it my mobile classroom, mm-hmm. with a whiteboard and stuff. And so I keep them on there, and my students have their roll call numbers they're associated with. And I'll have the question written up on the whiteboard, and they just magnetically, you know, they go up and pull their plagnet and go stick it on the whiteboard for where they feel they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the powerful thing about it, because, you know, the typical Plickers example, and what many people may have seen who are listening at the moment, is obviously a student will hold up a piece of paper, and the direction they hold it up in, matches with their answer response. But in that scenario, you could have kids spread out over a wide space and it takes a bit longer to scan. But I'm guessing that with your plagnets example, you put it up on the whiteboard and they go back to their activity, whatever that is, and you can just stand there and quickly capture them all in one go almost.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've sort of not, because yeah, it does have that. A lot of people will email us and say that they, you know, used Plickers for the first time and they found that they were spending a lot of time trying to capture the whole class. And this is just one way to make that a little bit easier. So outside of the Plickers example, is there anything else that you've explored technology wise with your students, you know, whether it's an app or whether it's, you know, something that you do personally to make you your planning efficient, or doesn't necessarily have to be student use?
So a couple of things. I love using the BAM video delay for my track and field unit.
Amazing.
Specifically when they do their high jump, so that they can look at, you know, are their feet in the right spot? Are they taking off with the correct leg? Are they jumping over the bar properly? So that's been really cool to use for that.
Isn't it phenomenal to say that we can create an instant replay with, like, you know, within a couple of seconds in our class? One device that we pretty much already have access to. And, you know, it makes me laugh, to be honest, to think what we used to have to do to make that possible back when I first started the PE Geek website in 2008. We needed a laptop and a camera and like a FireWire cord and like $1,000 software to piece a 10-second replay together. And here you are, you've gone and got BAM video delay, you've put it on an iPad presumably and pointed it towards some high jump, and you've got your replay.
Yep. Yeah, and the kids love that instant feedback, because I can tell them, oh, you jumped off the wrong leg, or, you know, whatever it is, or jumped off 2 feet usually. But now they can actually see it. So mm-hmm. it's much more of that quick visual assessment that allows them, oh, okay, now I see what she's talking about.
Exactly. And smart teachers like yourself are using that as an opportunity to add another layer of feedback. So you're still probably able to do the verbal feedback, the, you know, demonstrations and so on that would make up your typical teaching classroom. But now you've gone and added this visual component that tells a whole picture of information on top of what you already do. So I just think it's so much more effective, because you're still doing all the stuff that you would have done originally, but now you've got this other channel to layer on some more useful information. So it's tremendously powerful, and it's been really, really a big hit across the globe. Do you know how that app began?
I don't know. I think I remember hearing it from you on your podcast.
It's an example of a father and his daughter you know, she was dancing in front of a mirror, and it sort of began life in that realm. And in the early days, it really was pitched at dancers. And obviously, you know, they need to see themselves and the feedback and so on. But there's so many applications. You know, you mentioned high jump, but you could use it in literally anything. That's its strength.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. You could use it with a softball throw or a dance or kicking or anything. Yeah,
for sure. So you've got all the, you've tried a few of these things here. You've done some instant replays. You connect on Twitter. You're using plickers and plagnets, and I'm sure there's a whole realm of other things. How do you help the people in your department or in your school that you work with, your colleagues? How do you help them get on board? And has that been successful, or is there a bit of a challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty well, I like to share what I'm doing. Like, hey guys, this is really cool. I found this. And we do a good bit of team teaching, like our track and field unit. We bring all the whole entire sixth grade class together. So there's three teachers and we all work together. And so that's a really simple way to be like, oh, here, I'll pull up my BAM video delay, and they kind of see it in action.
Yeah.
Try to do it as organically as possible, so that it's not feeling forced.
Yeah.
I bought my own personal iPad because our school iPads just were not cutting it. They were really outdated and really slow. And I started using that with for iDocio for my grade books. Instead of bringing a clipboard out with me every day, I just have my iPad and I can do everything through that. And just that, a couple of their teachers have been like, oh, you use that for your grade book? Oh, what do you use? You know, and so
perfect.
Kind of naturally, you know, I've definitely tried things and failed, but things that are successful, I try to share, whether they're at team meetings or whatever. And I also am in a couple different professional development classes, I guess, at school. One of them's for Google Classroom. And so, you know, I'll share with my team, oh, I'm doing this on Google Classroom. Just kind of let them know what I'm doing. And then if they decide they want to do it, they'll usually ask me about it a little bit more.
I mean, it's way more successful, that approach that you're taking, than the whole, you know, forcing people to do something. And yeah, you're sort of showing them what's possible, and then having them come to you when they see it in action and they can clearly see the benefit, or in a student scenario, they can see the students are buying into that approach. That's when things really start to work well, because they come from almost a place of interest rather than a place of, you know, being forced or coerced into it. So you mentioned Google Classroom there. What sort of things are you doing with that? Are you using it for submission of work, or is it to communicate with students?
Yeah, so mostly just submission of work. We have kind of a classroom website that we use as well. And then that's what I use, that has like our school calendar, has every class's calendar on it. But I use Google Classroom because I use Google everything.
Yeah.
And I've done a few different projects this year. One was, they had a group project where they used Google Slides to explain a Winter Olympic sport. Mm-hmm. So they did like a little research report and presented that. I've done where they created a GIF during our tumbling unit. So they used Google Slides to create a GIF. And so they just submit through there. I had them do a goal setting, just a short-term goal setting for their most recent mile, where they just wrote on there just a private comment to me on what their goal would be and what two things they were going to do during the mile to achieve that goal. So just a couple
extremely
little
quick, versatile, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, we don't have a classroom, but being able to hop into a lab or use it as homework, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed a common trend in the last few years where people who, you know, first experience Google Classroom start to really leverage it, because it's just really simple. It ties into all the data that already exists that the school might have, like the students' Google accounts and so on. And it speaks to, again, when tech gets out of the way, things become really possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. which is great, because for so long has been great and full of possibility, but it's got in the way of the classroom teaching experience, and the best tools are getting out of the way. Yeah. So before we wrap up here, is there anything that you're looking at doing at the moment that you're excited about, that you're keen to explore, and you don't know whether it's going to work or not, but you're still going to have a go?
I don't know. I mean, one of my big projects is that I'm going to start working at getting at least a mini class set of Chromebooks that I can use, so I can kind of get away from having to reserve a lab.
Yeah,
so that's a big project for you know, the next few years to try to get funding for that.
That's perfect. That, yeah, I mean, you can imagine how powerful it would be if you had access to those Chromebooks, and you know, they're a bit more mobile and portable, and you'd be able to, you know, leverage those whenever you needed. So I am going to check back with you in the future and see how you've progressed with that. So what's the strategy? Just to get some funding and perhaps maybe show what's possible in the application and then complete a funding request?
Yeah, I mean, Donor's Shoes has been
cool.
Great. I've already gotten an iPad Pro funded through that. So just kind of continue to leverage that and potentially, you know, get funding through. We have our foundation at our school that occasionally has money, and just, I need to share all the great things that my kids are doing with technology in PE specifically. And that's usually pretty easy to do because I use technology a lot, and just show them what the benefit of having Chromebooks could be, especially the new ones now that can be, you know, tablet and computer, is pretty cool.
Yeah. So you mentioned Donors Choose there, and no one's actually ever spoken about this on a podcast. So on our podcast, that is, what is it and how does it work?
Okay. So Donors Choose is basically a crowdfunding site that you choose. They have a couple different vendors, and you go in and you figure out what you want to purchase for your classroom. And it kind of walks you through really on who your students are, what the purpose of this project is, and then it creates basically a funding website for you that you can share through your social media channels or through your school, and people can donate. And there's a lot of really neat opportunities when big corporations will match donations or double donations, especially involving technology. That's usually a really big one. Like Microsoft will do that every now and again, where they will match a donation or double a donation for using technology in schools.
Nice.
So recently there was just a company called Ripple who...
It's a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, and they funded every single educational request that was on Donor's Choose.
Something like $26 million in total projects that they just greenlight. And
yeah,
I think there were some very happy and very appreciative educators out there who basically got all their projects. So if you're sitting and listening and you haven't leveraged Donor's Choose, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. If you're in North America, to obviously go out and post an opportunity and see if someone will fill it for you. And sounds like you've been quite fortunate to have that iPad Pro come about. So when did that happen?
That I got funded through the Ripple.
Oh, really? That's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. I have an opportunity now to, I mean, I was just using a little iPad mini, but so I was thinking exactly of the BAM video delay on a nice big iPad Pro. It'll be a lot easier for my students to see. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, well, Ripple is a cryptocurrency, and yeah, they. It was quite an interesting when I saw that they had gone out and funded it. But it just speaks to, you know, their interest in education and helping people get the resources that they need. So yeah, tremendously well done by you. And if you're listening and you haven't used it, I recommend going and checking it out. So thanks you so much for stopping by here on what is probably a Sunday for you, and you know, you've shared some really useful information around plickers and how you can leverage those with Plagnets, and obviously, you know, have shown a real interest in improving your students' school experience. So I thank you for sharing that with everyone.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jared, for having me on.
We'll speak soon. See ya.
Thank you. Bye-bye.